It's awesome to have Guy Cowan of the Fuzzy Robes visiting the Antidote. Kia ora.
Kia ora, how are you?
Good. Did I say that right?
Close enough.
I should have you explain that greeting to our listeners.
Kia ora is, that's te reo Māori, which is the indigenous language of New Zealand, or Aotearoa, as we call it. And kia kind of means towards, and ora is wellness. So it's basically every time you're saying kia ora to someone, you're kind of hoping that they are moving towards wellness. That's the basic idea, but in other words, it just means hello.
Perfect. I've been impressed by the Fuzzy Robes since you released your debut, Night Prayers. I mean, that release actually took the Antidote's number 2 spot on our best of list for 2021. And you made that list because your sound is so different. You know, it's certainly indie, but it's that psychedelic flavor that makes it a standout. You know, really, it's like you're coming from a different era.
Yeah, it's a whole combination of things that we listen to now and things we've listened to in the past, and really going for a sonic palette that we sort of established before we even started the project. There's a lot of psychedelic flavors and sort of references to some of that old spaghetti western soundtrack.
That's it. Yeah, that's what I've been missing to pick up on. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's lots of Ennio Morricone and that sort of, you know, tumbleweed psychedelia almost, you know.
And how did you get into those musical styles?
It's just appreciation. I think a large part of the fascination with that kind of music is the Clint Eastwood image and the just the look of those films, and then come across the soundtrack, and it's one of those types of music that you are always aware of, I think, from even being a little kid. And then when you start delving deep into just how much the sound itself adds to the visuals, it's one of those, I think, musical styles that is as much of the product as the film itself, if you catch what I mean.
Like, 100%.
You can't have the spaghetti westerns without the music.
Does that mean, besides the Fuzzy Robes, you're going to start creating music for film?
Yeah. Well, if someone...
That's actually not a joke.
Yeah. It would be a massive undertaking. I mean, it's not necessarily something we would ever rule out, but it would have to be the right thing, be the right project. But yeah, members of the group who have done soundtrack work, and that's something that they're already doing, but as the Fuzzy Robes themselves, not too sure about that.
The Fuzzy Robes began the Night Prayers with Approach Part 1, which does show off your style. It also gives the message, the Spirit of God be our guide, to lead us to peace and to glory. So that's the statement in the song, but does that statement also apply to the band itself?
Let's say yes, just to make it sound more interesting, if you know what I mean.
But now you have to describe why.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's the music was kind of put together in a way that the process itself dictated the finished result, in the sense that we had this idea of making an album based on a preset text. So I certainly had never done that before, and neither had anyone else in the group. And so that idea of an approach in the prayer book that we were working with, it's this idea that you are preparing yourself to be ready for prayer. You know, it's not that you just sort of start into it straight away. You sort of make sure that you, you know, acknowledge the right things and prepare yourself in the right ways. And musically, I think the way that we wanted to start out that first opening track is you get sort of this idea of the music and what it could be throughout the rest of the album. So that first opening track, Approach One, is, you know, it starts off with an almost choral vibe with the organ playing in the background. And then it's really not until you hear that drum beat kick in that you sort of pick up that it could be something a bit different. So, yeah, to answer that question, yes, there is some sort of planning out there for guiding you towards what the Fuzzy Robes will be. But yeah, it's just a natural part of that process, I think, of reading that text, and the way the text is itself is a journey.
You know, I really should have started off this whole conversation by asking you about how the Fuzzy Robes came to be. Can you give us the creation story?
Yeah, I can go into it a bit. We've known each other for a really long time. You know, we were approached by the Anglican Church down here about putting some music. So the text itself is the New Zealand prayer book. There'll be a lot of listeners out there who might not even know what prayer books are. Sort of tradition of having a book at home, and you might run through these services informally with a group of people or your family, and the text itself is the night prayers section of that text.
Yeah, because the book itself is actually used in the liturgy of the Anglican Church.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of parts that are, and there are services in the book, and then there's different sections for different needs. Like, you got everything from how to run a funeral, how to run a marriage ceremony, to these sorts of at-home services. That's how I would really describe them. They're more, you don't need a priest to do it. It's sort of meant to be this idea that you and your family or a group of friends might do it as part of your regular routine. The text they asked us to work with, just because night prayers itself, that tradition or that practice was having a bit of a resurgence down here in Christchurch. And so we kind of took that invitation and went a little bit left of field with it and came up with the tracks Psalm 25 and Approach 1 were kind of the only two that we really came up with before actually going and writing the album in its entirety.
You really surprised me when you said it was the church itself that asked you to create it.
Yeah, yeah. Christchurch isn't that big. So we knew people who were working at the diocese at the time, and they knew that there were a few of us who were working in music. And so the conversation opened up from there about what could come out of it.
So you don't have the typical three or four members. There are actually six people involved in the Fuzzy Robes.
Yep, there was actually seven. Cam, the drummer, couldn't make that particular photo shoot.
Right.
So the Fuzzy Robes is a live band. The first album, Night Prayers, was a pretty small, tight group of just four of us, plus a few guests who came in to work on one or two of the tracks. And then the live band, we've got people like Rosa Elliott, and she's an amazing choral composer down here in Christchurch. So she plays keyboards and sings in the group. And then we've got some other people like our drummer, Cameron Finlay, who, again, an amazing jazz drummer. And Lydia Johnston, she plays keyboards in the live band, but she is also the vocalist on Night Prayers for Approach Part 2. And we actually initially met Rosa, the choral composer I mentioned earlier, when we were recording the Midday Prayers album. So she actually helped us write Psalm 119.
Which is beautiful. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. You're going to help me out, though. With all these members, does everyone have input into putting the songs together? Because I could see that turning into being chaos.
Short answer is no. Just because the way we've done these two albums is that they were done really fast. We only had 10 days to do Night Prayers, and that was writing, recording, and everything.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. And then we had about 2 weeks to put Midday Prayers together. So that was sort of 2 week long chunks for that. So there wasn't really too much time to do a whole lot of collaboration. It was kind of, we had to be a little bit cutthroat with the whole process. So obviously Rosa, she contributed with helping us doing some writing and then also singing on that Psalm 119 track. And then also we had Lydia, who was a vocalist on the Night Prayers album. And beyond that, it's been myself and Lucas and Shannon and Paul. That's sort of the type four who really put together a lot of the writing and production on those two albums.
There's another beautiful song that came out of Night Prayers. in that Song of Simeon.
Yes.
I do think that most Christians are inspired by the story of Simeon. We all want to be like that. But is that why you chose it?
So the Song of Simeon, it's just there. It's just in the night prayer service. It's one of those ones where if you're going to try and do the whole service, you read out the Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't really have a choice. We kind of just had to come up with something for it. In saying that, it's, again, yeah, really inspiring. And I think it's either really beautiful or a little bit harrowing, depending on how you're reading into it, whether it's this idea of joy and promises being made, but also this idea that now his job's done. He's done what he was called to do, and now he can die. That's at least my understanding. So, yeah, it's the Song of Simeon. It's got this kind of twofold nature on it with the melody, where it's sort of this quite triumphant opening and then a sort of melancholic middle, and then finishes up with a sort of a more back to that extra layer of triumph kind of at the end, which is something we were trying to capture in the song itself.
Well, something that you had just brought up was about the choices, what to choose from midday prayers or night prayers. But you made it sound like you had to choose this one. But there are multiples in those sections of the Book of Prayer.
I could be wrong on this one, but yeah, I think from memory, yes, there's often about, you know, there's six or so choices,
right,
in each section generally for things like a psalm or a hymn or whatnot. But when you're going through the actual night prayer service, it goes bang, bang, bang. And Song of Simeon is just one of those ones that if you're going to do night prayers, you're going to do the Song of Simeon. Yeah, there's some things that you choose. There's some things that you might skip. But if you're kind of sticking true to the form, you would do the Song of Simeon or the Nunc Dimittis.
Okay, now you've explained it to me.
There we go. Yeah. The thing to keep in mind is that we didn't know any of this when we were recording it. We had to get people in to sort of explain what parts we had to do, what parts we didn't have to do, because this was all new to all of us. Like, we hadn't really done it before. Like, we hadn't used or seen this prayer book before. It was just
handed to you and said, do this.
Basically, yeah, basically.
You're making it sound as if the Anglican Church is quite progressive.
I would say that they, at least in Aotearoa, New Zealand, I would say that they would be more progressive than conservative and traditional.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different ways to express Anglicanism in New Zealand. I'm not quite sure what it's like in North America or the UK, but that's sort of what we've got down here.
You've brought up the whole point about progressive and conservative. There's bound to be some conservative Christians who are offended by what you're doing.
I'm sure there are. If they're offended, they probably haven't heard of us. So that's all right with me. But no, the bishop down here, he's a good guy. He's into it. And every priest that we've ever met has been really excited by the project, sort of taking something that they know so well and turning it into something that a whole new audience might appreciate. So we haven't come into any backlash from it yet. But no, you are right. There will be people out there who think that we're mucking around with a sacred text or something like that. But no, haven't heard anything yet. Fingers crossed. Touch wood.
I'm glad there's been no casting of stones. How difficult is it for you to adapt music to fit what it is that's being used as the topic in the song?
It's one of those things where, but at least for me, I can only speak for myself, but I had to put on this quite a pragmatic mindset to the whole thing, where you kind of have to make it work. And you can hear in the way that a lot of the words are sung, it's not too dissimilar to what you would maybe see at, if you're doing Catholic Mass or something like that, where you have these lines and there might be a very basic melody, and it's just at the end, the last three lines might repeat the motif or the melody.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of sort of practicality and pragmatism and function that make that job a lot easier. I could definitely see the project taking a lot longer than 10 days if you're trying to do in-depth melodic interpretations of every single line when you're working with a text that is not designed or not written to be melodic. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm amazed that you're able to create it so quickly, have it sound so good, but you are making it sound as if this is really a job to be done. Was there joy in creating the releases?
Yeah, definitely. It was. It's probably musically one of the things I'm most proud of.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge. It's sort of, at least to me in my own mind, I can't speak for the others, but it's this thing where you got to have the mass by Sunday. You know, it's that kind of old, centuries ago thing of it's music to accompany text. And there is something in my brain that's quite satisfying about it. You sit down 10 days and you just smash it out. And it worked. Luckily it worked. We could have just as easily got to the end of that 10 days. I had to fly out. I was leaving. And it could have just been half done. We could have had two songs done. We could have gotten angry at each other and abandoned the whole thing. It was just something that happened, and it fell together, and we're really happy the way it did.
Well, you and I have been speaking about the debut. Just a couple of days ago, the Fuzzy Ropes have returned with a new album, Midday Prayers. It is similar to Night Prayers, but I don't think you tried to duplicate the original release.
No, I think the word progression is probably more suitable. We kind of, again, took that idea of what is midday. What is the purpose of having that midday prayers break? And how would that then inform the music? And we were lucky enough to record it over a summer. So rather than Night Prayers, which was recorded in the winter, and mm-hmm. I think that sort of by itself affects the kind of music that you're writing. No, we were definitely trying to work with some of the same style and the same musical ideas as the first record.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, with the Kyrie Eleison, it's the same song. It's just that we re-recorded it in a different way. But, well, lyrically, it's identical. But then the melody itself, that's identical to Night Prayers. And that's trying to sort of pick up this idea of there's repetition in these prayer services that you do, but then there's also things that make them unique. So yeah, it felt like a progression and the next thing for Fuzzy Robes. And yeah, that's the way I'd think about it.
That was cool about how that song was a bridge between the two releases. Anyway, because it's a beautiful piece of work.
Yeah, and then there's also in the Invocation, there's callbacks to Night Prayers as well there lyrically.
Right.
There's repeated phrases and things there. So that's something that we quite enjoy.
Well, for me, I think one of the standouts from Midday Prayers is Psalm 119. But here's the thing. Do you ever admit to having favorites from one release or the other?
No, I've definitely got my pet favorites, and I really enjoy 119. My personal favorite, I really enjoy Lead Me From Death to Life. That's something that I really like. There was just something about it, maybe in the recording process, that just really landed for me personally. Yeah, no, we've all got our favorites, and there are tracks that I think just a natural part of working with a set text is that you don't get a cutting room floor mm-hmm. like you would with other albums. There are just tracks that you can't just not put in. Where on another recording project, you might go, you know what, we've recorded the song and it's just not fitting the record. It just doesn't fit the style. That's just not good enough, however you want to view it. So yeah, so naturally there will be songs that I feel more excited about, but every song on that has got a purpose, and there are going to be tracks that people feel really connected to in the same way that you feel really strongly about Psalm 119. They might feel really strong about just the blessing at the end. Who knows?
You mentioned one of your favorites is Lead Me From Death to Life. And that does carry a similarity in the song between Night Prayers and Midday Prayers. And it's these robotic vocals. You know, it reminds me of a text-to-speech program. Why would you take that route for vocals?
Again, it's just one of those things we just thought it would work. And I think it does. I think there's something oddly beautiful about hearing Microsoft Sam read out the Book of Prayer.
Right.
And we did it twice in Night Prayers, and then we've done it here in Midday Prayers. Yeah, I think that just, I'm not sure for me, because we made the call to do sort of spoken word in some of those tracks just to, I think, capture what the text is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally just felt like a human voice just would have just, I think, fallen into a few tropes or cliches that we just weren't interested in going down. And text-to-speech, there's something about it that takes you out of what you're thinking about, and you kind of can't avoid but focusing in. I don't know. Yeah, it's something that we all really like.
I've seen the Fuzzy Robes described as a collective versus a band. Is there actually a difference?
I feel that there is, because both albums I would describe as concept albums, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the band itself, we don't do many shows. We've done one show. So we're not going to be touring. We're not going to be playing, you know, spots at a club. You know, that's just not really what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
I would sort of encourage people who are new to the Fuzzy Robes to view it more like an art exhibit, where you might have it set up at a museum, but yeah, it's a concept. It's not a band in the same way that a lot of the other music that we've been involved in has been. So we treat it differently. And in the same sense, where the writers that we work with, you know, there's a tight core, but then there's also other people who have come in and done a bit of instrumentation or writing, and that's where the collective sort of comes into it, where we come together for very short periods of time to work on something, whether it be the live version or the produced version. Then that ends and we go back to whatever else it was that we were working on.
And when you come together, it's intensive.
Yes, it's very intensive and exhausting, but also great.
One thing about the Fuzzy Robes is that online, the Fuzzy Robes is invisible. I mean, you are on Bandcamp and you do have Facebook, but that's about it. So how do people connect with your music?
Well, we obviously encourage people to listen to it however they want to. So we've got records that are available, and you can get it on Bandcamp or it's on Spotify and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things where we quite appreciate there's a slight mystery to it, and there's a bit of anonymity to it. And it's one of those things where I think everyone who's found it feels like it's their own little secret. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And now I'm sharing the secret.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where it's at the moment. And we're happy with that. We don't need to be reaching lots and lots and lots of people in order to feel like it's worth it. If there's a handful of people who find it really worthwhile, then that's great. And we've definitely found a lot of our reach has come quite organically. It's been people who have felt excited about it, and they have been the ones to share it with people, or they might know someone who they think would be more into it than them. And that's where we've had a lot of our growth and an audience from.
How do you feel about the Fuzzy Robes? Do you feel it has an overriding purpose?
Oh, that's a deep question. In terms of purpose, we're not evangelists.
No.
That's not what we're. When we were making it, it wasn't really until we finished Night Prayers that we thought, someone could hop in their car after a shift, put on that album, and by the time they've got home, they have been guided through some sort of prayers. And so I guess you could say that could be a purpose. There could also be people who just enjoy the idea of what the Fuzzy Robes is. But in terms of purpose, it really is, for us, it's an art project. That's really the way we're coming into it.
I want to close the antidote with my favorite from your group, and it is a new one, the Lord's Prayer. It's beautifully soft and dreamy, but since the root of the song is the prayer, was that a natural one to record?
Well, yeah, the Lord's Prayer, it's one of those sections of the midday prayers that it was actually really, really hard to try and find something that worked for it, just because there's been so many versions of that particular text that has been sung already.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many bad versions out there.
That's true.
Yeah. And so it was this thing of, what do you do there? We wanted to take that challenge on rather than avoid it. And yeah, I agree. I think the way it came out is really cool. I think it sort of got this almost like late Beatles-y kind of psychedelia, kind of like trancey groove to it that is really quite cool. And it's lent itself to the words, I think, not in a hugely intentional way, just in a way that I think it just aligned up. And then, like I was sort of saying earlier, melodically, it's very much inspired by, I spent about a half a week at a Catholic monastery after doing night prayers. And that idea of when you sing a melody and then you sort of might have a very simple melody for most of the line, and it's not until the end of the line that it really, that's where the melody is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we sort of took that on with the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
But yeah, it was a challenge. It was really hard to decide how we were going to sing it and how we were going to do it. But then once we had the first line, it all just, boom, it all just fell together.
And I'll admit to you that I'm harshly critical. So when I say it's perfect, it is perfect.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, Guy, I want to thank you for coming for this talk with the antidote. I really appreciate this.
No worries. Thanks for having us.